Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Violet Reiki Radio. I'm your host, Rose Jimenez, and this evening, my guest is Barbara Gilman, and we will get to that in 1 second. I would just like to start off the show thanking the founders of the Seika Network for giving me this wonderful opportunity to bring you this show, Violet Reiki Radio. And here at Violet Reiki Radio, we discuss all things Reiki. We discuss all things energy, healing, you name it, metaphysical, spirituality, alternative modalities, anything that is for your own personal growth and spiritual growth. All things that will make you a better you and give you a better, more fulfilled life. The founder of Reiki, Mikao Usui, was very much into learning as much as he possibly could and wanted to experience new things. He was into religion, philosophies, all kinds of martial arts training, healing. He was into different religions, very much into metaphysics, and he just had such a zest for life and wanted to know everything there is to know. How could he be a better person? How could he make life better for those around him? And that's what we're about on this show. Reiki is a blessing. It is an instantaneously conferred sacred potential for healing, protection, personal growth, and spiritual development. If you would like to find out more about me, Rose Jimenez of Violet Rose Reiki, my website is www.violetrosereiki.com. You can send an email to rose@violetrosereiki.com. I am also on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I believe I have, I'm on Google Plus. I'm on a host of social media websites. So if you would like more information regarding Violet Rose Reiki, by all means, if you just type me in Google, you will come up with, you'll come up with some, you know, some information. You'll be led to my website, I'm sure. Now, this evening, back to my guest, my lovely guest, is Barbara Gilman, and Barbara has over 30 years of experience as a therapist and coach. She is an access consciousness facilitator. She is the founder of Success Strategies for Life and has developed the Conscious Parenting for a New Paradigm training. Barbara is also the author of The Unofficial Guide for Living Successfully on Planet Earth and a contributing author of An Indigo Celebration and The Indigo Children 10 Years Later. Barbara has served as the Director of Family Education for Neil Don Walsh's Heartlight Education and Director of the Center for Spiritual Awareness. She has also hosted her own radio show, and you can find Barbara at her website, which is www.barbara.com. And there's a lot of information on her website. I've been checking it out myself, and please do go check it out. The number here in studio, if you'd like to call in with any questions or comments that you have for me or for Barbara, the number here is area code 347-677-0699. One other thing I'd like to put out there and let you all know is that I have a page on Reiki Ward that is for free distance Reiki healing. The name of the page is Reiki Ward, and you can put up a post, same way you'd post anywhere else on Facebook. You can post a request for healing on that page, and we will get on it ASAP and send healing to whoever you are requesting the healing for, be it for yourself or for a family member, a friend, anyone. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be solely limited to humans. You can put this healing request in for any animals, situations, children, whatever. We're there for you 24/7. The page's name is Reiki Ward, and we've been doing this for now, going on almost now 3 years. We have a, I have to say, fairly good success rate with the healings that we have been doing, and we welcome everyone to just go over there and take advantage of this wonderful free healing. Okay, like I said, the distance healing, it is for free, we don't charge, and we have some very lovely, wonderful, generous Reiki practitioners helping us there on the page and sending Reiki. So without further ado, let me see. Let's hope that I've got Barbara here. Good evening. Is this Barbara?
This is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. How about you?
I'm great. Welcome to Violet Reiki Radio. I have been very excited about this this show because, as I said early on, I have been looking at your website, and I love it. It's just like so much information there, and it, you know, from what I see, you're doing a wonderful job bringing a lot of things to light and helping a lot of people.
Well, thank you, and so are you.
I try.
Yes, well, you're not trying, you're actually doing and
okay.
Being.
Great. So tell us a little bit about how you got into what you're into and the development of Success Strategies for Life.
Okay. Well, I actually, you know, I always say people come in to be who they be. So I came in and I was a very unusual child. I skipped like 3 years in school. And when I was, I think, in the sixth grade, we had to write a report about what we wanted to be when we grew up. And my teacher wrote a note back to my mother that she had never seen a child with such clarity And that held such intensity about, and what I wanted was like to understand what made people who they were and how could you help them to change.
Right.
And it was like I had this knowing and awareness when I was young that basically everything that they told us was not true.
Oh, my God.
It was quite amazing. And, well, then you understand. And
so you do have those, like, what moments where you just were going, huh, what? No.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. And so I'm sure just as you and many of the people listening, I was just a seeker all my life. And it was always about really coming back to who I really was, or as I say, who I truly be, which of course at that time I didn't understand, but it was just that journey into coming back into the self, the power and the potency, the infinite being that we really truly all are. And so I started, I was probably maybe 14 or 15, and I started looking at, you know, the Eastern philosophy and religion and spirituality. And when I was in my 20s, I found that Jose Silva Mind, which used to be called Jose Silva Mind Control, it's now called Mind Method.
I love him.
Yeah, and that was, that was a journey into more of what I would call the energy and the consciousness. You know, so the spiritual was one sort of level of it, and now there was another possibility about, oh, we actually create our own reality. And how cool is that? You know, becoming the magician and the creator. And so that really started to fascinate me. Child, I was going to be either a child psychologist or an interior designer, which... But
wow.
I had a cousin, and I still have him, who's 20 years older than I am. And so he was a well-known interior designer, and I just loved everything about what he did and his lifestyle and all of that. So long story short, I went to school for both things, and then I got married quite young, had a daughter, and then went through, at the time, I guess I would have said, a horrendous divorce.
Aren't they all?
Well, you know, I was young and I guess did not understand the world and relationships as, of course, I do now. And I was very privileged. And when I realized that it wasn't working and I decided to leave, things weren't what I time in my life. My friends were always like 15 to 20 years older than I was. So I went into what a therapist, the only therapist I had ever gone to, said I was in cultural shock. Mm-hmm. And in that period, that's when I found the great body of work of understanding how we create our reality, because clearly that's on one level, of course, what I was asking for. And it just changed my whole world. And as I say, at that time in my life, it was like being on a magic carpet ride.
Mm-hmm.
I then discovered my spiritual teacher, who was Lazarus, who actually is still around, which is like the Abraham Hicks of the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all about consciousness. And I was sold. It was like, oh, my God, this is what I've been for my whole life, everything I believed in but never had a label or never had the words to explain it. And so I stopped being a designer at that point, because then all of a sudden the psychology made sense. And I was off and running on my magic carpet ride and literally worked in the field of energy and consciousness forever. I don't know. It's been, I guess, over 30 years. And it's my passion. It's my joy. I love it. I love to help other people to transform. It's, you know, it's sort of like I once was being interviewed, and I said, next to seeing my daughter being born, what I do is so fantastic because I have people who come to me who, you know, every walk of life, but there's just some place within them that they know that they can be greater, that they can be more. It doesn't have to be the trauma, the drama, the struggle, or like sort of being in high school when you're whatever age, you know?
And right.
Yeah, and it's like that's what I help people to sort of open up to, that there's a whole other reality when you step into the world of consciousness. And the way to get there is not by trying to fix what was. You know, we live on a planet where most everything is about fixing what wasn't working in the first place. And that can, and it cannot work. It's never worked. That's why, as I say, we live on such an insane planet. So for me, it's what would it take to actually create beyond this reality, to function in a way in alignment with who we truly be, which, as I look at it, is the infinite being, the creator, the magician. You know, one thing a Lazarus had said when years and years ago was, you know, that you are the magician. And when you learn to work with energy, because we are energy, but most of us don't have that sort of awareness. And when you learn to work with the tool of energy, then you will actually find out that you are the creator. And so for me, that's the most exciting thing about living, is that we are that. And
well, you know, the one thing I see is, like you said, you know, there was the birth of your daughter, and then it was like, wow, I really enjoy helping people transform. And I would imagine that, A, you love to help people, as we all do. We're like, you know, helpers. We're help junkies. And we just love to help people, and we love our work because that's what we do. But more so, I would imagine you see it that every time you help someone, every time you've done or achieved a transformation for someone, you feel like that's a new birth. So you're almost like the eternal mother, because each client, each experience is like a new birth and a new birth. Do you ever think of it that way?
Oh, absolutely. Interesting that, you know, you say that, because I am a Jewish mother. And so it's like I say in my classes, you know, what is a Jewish mother? I know Asian people who are Jewish mothers. I know gay men who are Jewish mothers. I know Chinese women who are Jewish mothers. A Jewish mother is somebody who loves someone so much that they just want to give them all.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I have a friend. My friend and I are both born in the year of the monkey, according to Chinese astrology.
Okay.
And I termed this this title with him, this terminology with him, I am your Jewish monkey mama. Because this is a person I love so much, and I'm not Jewish. But I'm your Jewish monkey mama. So yeah.
That's adorable. However, in the years that followed, what I started to realize is that most people, even when they say that they're choosing transformation and change, they're actually not choosing it. It's at a level that they're not quite aware of. And so I found myself sometimes being more proactive in their lives than they were. And so I would end up saying to them, you know what, I have a daughter, I'm her Jewish mother, and I'm not going to be yours. In other words, I'm not going to put more into your life than you're willing to. And so I find that right now, when I talk about Jewish mother, I'm talking more about the universe. I look at the universe as the great Jewish mother, in that the universe is there to literally, if you want to use the word, grant, okay?
Okay.
Whatever we truly desire, because that energy is so supportive and so nurturing and so caring. And what, as I said to, you know, my clients or students, what would it take for you to have that communion with the universe energetically, to know that the energy that you're putting out there will be received, and will then, the universe will then respond to you by the awareness that you will perceive and receive from the universe. So it's taking the job in a way out of my hands. I'm opening the door, and I'm teaching tools that will help my clients to take back the power and potency of who they truly be. You know, when you talk about transformation, it's like, well, you know, what really is transformation? Are we actually transforming into something else? Or are we the something else that we're actually transforming into? In other words, we are infinite beings. We are the magicians and the creators. However, living on this very dysfunctional planet, okay, that has an agenda of its own, and it's about control, which I'm not going to get into that much, you know, here, but it renders us sort of to be the victim, to be living in fear. And when we align with that state of energy, our power and our potency is basically gone, and we show up as people who are victims, who live in fear, who aren't in touch with who they truly are. And one of the ways that I think this, you know, it's accomplished so well on this planet is that when we come into the planet, you know, there's this, you're coming into parents who, for the most part, most parents and infants absolutely love and adore them and coo at them and hold them. And that's a wonderful energy for the child to be able to receive. And every child, every being perceives energy, whether they know it or they don't. And so they're getting this wonderful energy. However, there's one point, there's a very defining point in their lives when the child is no longer just lying, you know, in its crib, basically doing nothing, and all of a sudden starts to become the power and potency that it is. And now it's, you know, it's doing things. It's coming from its power and potency, and it's demanding some things. So I like to tell this story of, think of a child that's now in a high chair, and the mother just put up a very expensive designer wallpaper, and she's serving the child spaghetti and meatballs with sauce for dinner. Well, the little child now is playing and, you know, discovering gravity. So what is it going to do? It's going to take that meatball, throw it against the wall.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, there's going to be a whole new energy that is probably going to be experienced for the first time in this child's life. So it's going from the cooing and the loving and the nurturing to, no, you're a bad girl. Don't do that. And it's coming with a much rougher energy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that child is perceiving that energy, and it doesn't feel as good as the loving and the nurturing energy. After a while of perceiving that kind of energy, the child starts to make a decision, a conclusion. I don't like that energy. I don't want to experience that energy, and I'm going to do whatever it takes not to have to. And so at that point, what starts to happen to beings on this planet is that we start to part and parcel ourselves. We start to cut pieces of ourselves off so we can fit in, be right, be correct, be loved, and be approved.
Indulge me a second here, Barbara, because this is coming into my mind. I don't know if the spirit's putting it there or what, but I need to ask you this question. Would you say that it also, this child, when this child now picks up that meatball and throws it and sees that it hit the wall and, wow, look what I've done, aren't they also getting at that point the feeling, the energy of having power, so that when mama comes along and says, no, they're like, well, wait, I've got this great power. Now you're cutting it and telling me no, so am I not supposed to have power? Is that part of that too?
Yes, that's absolutely a part of it all. And then all of these conclusions and decisions, because on this planet that we sort of live from that place, okay, we live from judgment, which is, you know, one of the reasons the planet is so dysfunctional. And so we start to make choices, and depending on what choices we make. So on one hand, the child can make the choice of, I'm going to give up my power and potency so I can fit in, so mommy will love me. So I'm not going to be yelled at. I'm not going to be, you know, sent to my room or to sit in the corner or whatever. So that child is choosing literally to give up their power and their potency. But the power and potency is really who they truly be. We are powerful as beings. So what happens in that moment, and that, of course, continues, is the child, you know, let's say this is a little girl who has a magnificent voice and she's joyful and she's playful, and her mother has headaches, migraine headaches. So every time she shows up being who she truly is, as the power and the potency and the joy and the laughter, it becomes a wrongness for her mother. And so she doesn't want mommy to have pain, or she doesn't want mommy to yell at her or not love her. So little by little, she makes the choice that I'm going to give up me. So I'm not going to sing, or I'm going to sing very low. And I'm not going to dance around and be joyful. I'm going to be quiet. And so you can see that after living with a mother like that for X amount of time, this magnificent child, this incredible creation of power and potency and creativity, has now shut herself down. And now she creates a role, a character, and a costume so she can be loved and nurtured and fitting in her family.
Right.
So after we do that for a number of years, who we truly are disappears.
We become who we're not supposed to be.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's like I've been saying for 30-something years, if you think that you're the one who's driving your bus, guess what? You're not, okay?
Right.
Because now you're not living your life. You're living this life that was created almost for you because you had to fit in, be right, be perfect. And the amazing thing is that, you know, the universe in this incredible grandeur, which we, I'm sure, living on this planet, we'll never totally understand, has, well, as I say, you know, I used to be a designer, as I said, and when I was designing, clearly, whatever I was designing, I would like it to be fantastic and great, and I'd want to choose, you know, the best of the best and have it work phenomenally. Well, would the universe choose any less? So think of the universe in creating a human being. It would create a magnificent specimen that would somehow be always to find, be able to find its way. So think of a GPS system in a car, right? So it's only a number of years ago that we've actually had these marvelous devices, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, wouldn't you think that the designer of a human being, the universe, okay, and you can use any word to fit in there, higher intelligence, God, source, whatever you want,
right.
would... in designing of a human being would come up with a GPS system so they wouldn't get lost in the wilderness. It makes sense, right?
Of course.
Okay. So the interesting thing is our GPS system is the one speck of energy that we be that is different than everyone else. So as you know, there's oneness in the universe. We're all created from the same energy. However, we each have one tiny spark, okay? And, again, my spiritual teacher used to say it was the signature of love. You can call it whatever you want, but it's designer bags and the designer shoes that everyone loves so much. Why do they love them? Because they're different. Or they're supposed to be different. Now they're all over, but anyway.
Right. So you have a Chinese knockoff, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So the thing is that even though we're all exactly made of the same energy, we all have that one spark, that one part of us that nobody else can be. And that is our GPS system. if we show up being, having the courage to be who we truly be, then it's like a key that unlocks a door to a world or a life that would function for us, that would be a life of ease, joy, and glory. It wouldn't have to be the struggle and the trauma and the drama of the life that most people live today. So the question is, what does it take a person to be or have that courage to show up as who they truly be? Because, you know, we basically established that for most people, they've given that part of themselves up a long time ago so they can fit into their family or their tribe or their herd or whoever, okay?
Well, I know for over 30 years, I was what I call a chameleon because I was almost like an only child. My two older brothers were 15 and 17 years older than I. I was alone most of the time. My mom was always sick. So it was hard for me to have friends. And if I did have a friend, and if we had an argument, the friend said, oh, I'm going home, I'm leaving you, I was panicky because then I'd have no one to play with. My mom was always, you know, laying down or not feeling well, and I'd be all alone. So because I was afraid and did not want to be all alone, I developed this chameleon act where if you didn't like me, you know, pink, oh, I'll change to green. If you don't like me green, I'll change to purple and orange. And yeah, and it was, like I said, it was over 30 years. And I don't really know what the point is, but I know with me, I got to the point where I just said, you know what? I cannot do this anymore. It's really, I'm fatigued. I'm exhausted. And I just let it go. And I said, I'm going to try being me. And if there's a general exodus, then, well, I'll deal with it. But if there's not, maybe I actually can be me and be accepted and not be left alone in the universe. And thank God it worked.
Yes, and you know what? It always will. You know, so when I talk about transformation, it's like transforming is really about going back. It's not forwards in a way. It's going back to who we truly be, who we came in as, without creating that role, that character, the costume, as you're saying, as the chameleon. So what would it take to actually have someone, okay, you, whoever you are out there, to be willing to claim, own, and acknowledge who you truly be? And so for me, that's what transformation is really about. It's that moment in your life, as you said, that you just realize, you know what, this is not working for me. And what would it take for me to choose for me rather than against me? Because when we walk around in those roles, those characters, and those costumes, we're choosing against us. And when you choose against you in the universe has no, has in a way, it's like you're asking to be less than you truly be. The universe can only offer that back to you. Whatever energy that you put out, if you're saying, you know what, I'm going to choose to be less than who I really be, the universe is basically going to say, cool. Okay, you're asking to be less than you truly be, so I'm going to give that to you. And then life.
And I think, I don't know, but I think the basis of all of that, the foundation of that is fear. We're scared to death.
Yes, well, wouldn't you be scared to death if you were in the woods, in a forest, and you didn't have a GPS system, and you were lost?
Exactly.
Okay, of course you would be, because you would feel totally alone. Even though you're in the midst of the probably the most magnificent, you know, sort of energy of being in the, you know, in the forest or the woods, but in the fear that you would be in, it would sort of probably like, you know, not even be in your awareness. So being lost in the woods or being lost on this planet or being lost from being in touch with who you truly be is not a great place to be. It doesn't work for you. And you can all, and basically what happens is you just keep creating from that energy. It becomes like a Mobius strip, you know, the letter, I mean, the number 8. It just,
right.
You're going around in circles and you can't seem to get out. And so there comes a time in some people's lives, again, because, you know, most people on the planet, unfortunately, are not choosing change. As I always say, a zebra usually does not change its stripes.
Right.
However, for the seekers on the planet, okay, there comes this moment where, as you said, it's like, it's almost a demand that we make at some level. That,
or like a do or die thing, you know, because I
exactly,
know at that point,
exactly.
I was like, I'm exhausted. I can't go on. I
yes,
cannot do this
exactly.
anymore. I just can't. It's survival.
Yes. Exactly. And at that moment, it's like the universe rolls up its sleeve and it starts to send you the energy that is going to match your demands that this has to change. I cannot live like this anymore. And that's probably the greatest moment in anyone's life, which is why you can speak to people, you know, it's like, again, you know, going back to that word judgment. One of the insane things also on this planet is that we live in judgment and we judge everything. So it becomes like there's good and bad, right and wrong. So you either agree or you disagree. You're in alignment and so you're always, again, it's like you're putting everything into these little boxes. And so things like, you know, being diagnosed with or losing your job or having your significant other die, in our world, those would all be considered or judged as wrong or bad. However, as I say, what if there was no bad? Okay, what if there was no wrong? And so when we start to look at life in that way, you're living in total allowance, and that's a possibility. And so then you can hear about the stories of the person who was diagnosed with cancer 10 years ago, and even though that one moment was the worst day in their life, or the same thing of the person who lost all their money or their spouse died, X amount of time later, they can actually tell you, which I've heard so many times, that that moment actually turned out to be one of the greatest moments in their life because from that moment, they made a new choice. And the choice, literally, to move on, to choose greatness, to choose who they truly be, and life then started to show up in a different way. And so for me, a number of years ago, after being in the field of consciousness and energy for so long and working with people, and clearly there were always changes because, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have been doing it for so long. It's my high in life to see people who come in as, you know, this energy of whatever, sadness, victim, or maybe just having a great life, but just knowing that there's more and they don't know how to find it. You know, if I say, is there something, you know, that you feel that you know that you can be greater and you just don't know how to get there? Well, after, you know, being and doing so many different modalities for 30 years, I just felt there was something that I did not have. You know, it was a tool that I didn't have. And, you know, being in the energy and consciousness world 30-something years ago is sort of like, you know, being in the preschool. And I went through the evolution of that world and all of the modalities that came in and all the information. And yet I just felt that something was still missing. And I was in a part in my life where it was like, what would it take for me to be willing to choose to receive that? And I made a demand to the universe. Just as you were saying, you get to a point where, you know, I can't take it any longer. What else is possible out there? And I
exactly.
found this body of work, I think a little more than 3 years ago, and it's called Access Consciousness. And it's, for me, it has just absolutely been the most amazing body of work that I have ever facilitated. It has been around for over 25 years, and I always say to myself, oh, why didn't I find it years ago? But, you know, we find everything when we need to.
That's
and
right.
It's taught in almost 50 countries. And I say right now, for me, I really believe that this is the leading edge of consciousness on the planet. And basically, it's a pragmatic system of energy and tools that will help people to change anything in their life to be something greater or more than what it presently is. And
that's great.
Yeah, it's just, for me, it's a miracle. I have seen, and I've seen people change in a way that in over 30 years I never thought was possible. And there are times when I'm, you know, in some of the classes that I facilitate, there are different levels. Sometimes I'm looking at a person, and this is in a class called Foundation and Level 1, and I see a person energetically change within sometimes 20 minutes. I see them literally start to let go of energy that has been blocking and limiting them for who knows how many lifetimes. And it's all of a sudden it's gone, and they appear as a totally different person. And I have really no words to explain how that's possible, and yet there it is as a possibility for everyone if they're willing to choose it. So one of the first class, actually, of Access is called the VARS, and it's an energetic body process where there are 32 points on the head, and those points are like our default system. So let's say we're a computer, and we have these default settings that we really don't know anything about, and that's what's limiting us and locking us up. When a facilitator touches these 32 points on the head, it's like you going into your default settings and saying, okay, something has to be changed here. And so just by touching these points on the head, it's like opening the lock to the vault where those default settings are being kept. So if you were living with a mother or father or whoever where all of your life you just heard that you weren't good enough or you were wrong, let's say.
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay, well, there you go. Okay. And so now you have a point of view or belief system where you believe that you're wrong or you're not good enough. That energy, and putting that energy out to the universe is always going to make you right. You're going to prove to yourself that, yes, I'm not good enough, and therefore, whatever it is that you're doing in your life or being in your life, you're going to find the evidence to make you right that I'm not good enough. And so your life is going to show up in the way it's been showing up. However,
right.
Once you make the choice, so let's say this person gets that demand, they demand to the universe, this has to change. So Access Consciousness comes into your life, you find a facilitator, and now all of a sudden you start having this process done, which is 32 points on the head, or even better, you know, you take this class, and, you know, I do classes all over the country. However, in Manhattan and in Saratoga, New York are the two that I do once a month. And you learn how to do this process. It's a one-day class. It's quite amazing, and yet children can actually do it. That's how simple it is, because the 32 points that are on the head are there. All that needs to be required in the process is to call in an energy. You call in the energy, the person who's facilitating the process, and I want to say it's almost like magic, because it really is, and all of a sudden the default settings of the person opens up, and they have a choice of how much of the energy that has been locking them up and limiting them in whatever area of their life we're talking about, whether it's finances or relationship or being, you know, wrong or not good enough. And through this session, which is usually an hour to 90 minutes, energy is being released. And once that energy is being released, there's a new space that is created for the person that allows them to now have new choices.
But when you say calling in an energy, what do you mean by that? What energy are you calling in?
That's the energy that you learn in the class. Okay. So, for instance, it would be like saying when you if you have an iPhone or an iPad and you're working with Siri, okay, and you say, you click the little button and then you say, find a French restaurant in my vicinity, okay? So So you're saying find whatever it is I'm looking for. And Suri comes back and she says, here are five locations, you know, within 10 miles of you. Okay? You ask and you receive. So in this case, in doing the class, you are given one or two sentences, which is simply asking the universe, okay? You're calling in an energy that has been in the morphic field for over 25 years. So you're calling this energy in. The energy starts. And as you're touching these points in the head, it starts to open up the points of view, the belief systems that have been literally, the energy of your point of view of I'm not good enough is solidified into the body and the being. So in a way, that person has no other way of showing up. Once you start to allow the energy that has been keeping that point of view solidified or stuck, all of a sudden, there's a new space. You can, and you start to now show up in a different way, to show up in a different way as your energy changes, the vibration of the body changes. All of a sudden, your life starts to change. And as we know now, that the quickest way to change your body or your being, meaning your life, is to change the energy that you're holding. And so access is all about giving you, me, anyone, the tools to work with in your life, and they're simple tools because I teach children the same way. They're simple tools and techniques that when you use them, you start to see that your life starts to show up in a way that allows an ease with life. It's no longer the trauma, and the struggle. It's like you have tools. And when you get into any energy that feels like it's something that you don't want to hold, so let's say it's anger, depression, or sadness, or frustration, okay? Why would you want to hold on to an energy like that? Well, most people wouldn't want to hold on to it, but they really don't know what to do with it.
And do you think after a while they kind of get comfortable with it?
Yes, exactly. And that becomes your comfort zone, and that's where you're, and that's where you live. And unfortunately for most people on the planet, if you show them an invitation or you give them an invitation for another possibility, most people either wouldn't believe that it's possible because they already have the conclusions and the decisions that, well, you know, life is a struggle. Look at these people. Look at the planet right now. Look at the financial situation. And it's like there's almost a part of them that is choosing against them. They're choosing to stay where they were rather than creating, as I said before, beyond this reality to some place that they haven't considered or acknowledged as even possible. You know, I really feel that right now in the time that we're living in, we are being offered in many different places, in many different ways, a new possibility to function beyond the reality that we've been functioning from that never was to begin with. So,
you know, it's funny because I'm noticing this with the unemployment and the job situation here in the United States. The other day I was thinking, you know, I've never seen unemployment this bad as this year. Back in 2008, it was bad, and I know a lot of people, a lot of friends, myself included at that time, were unemployed. But this just seems to be worse, and especially this new thing with the extending of the unemployment benefits, and this one representative is holding up the whole show, and he's digging his heels and going, no, no, no. And I look at these things, and I say, you know what? This, too, fear. There's fear. They keep offering training programs and different jobs, and there's encouragement to everyone, wherein they're saying, step outside the box, throw the box away. If you've never been an IT person in your life, try it. We will train you. And people are so afraid because if they're going for a job as a salesman or something, because that's what they're used to, they're scared to step outside of that and go train to become an IT person or whatever. So I think that dynamic is going on now, and this very well may be the universe saying, hey, people, slap, slap, wake up, come on. It's a whole new paradigm. Let's toil this earth. Let's dig it up. Let's move it.
Absolutely. And the thing is, you know, as I say to people, what would your life you were actually choosing for you and not against you? What would life be like if you had magical tools that you could start to use every day and literally start to see your world changing around you? And the one thing that I have found with access that I've never found with anything else is there's such, not only is there ease, but it's so playful. It's like being the child, and life becomes a glorious adventure. So one of the things that I have and people that I work with is, you know, they get up in the morning, and before you leave your house, just ask the universe. It's a system. It's like going to the candy machine. You put whatever you put in nowadays, a quarter or whatever it is, a dollar, to get your Snickers bars. Okay? The universe is a system of energy. So when you put out a question, what else is possible here? How can it get even better than this? Okay? The universe is going to send you energy in the form of awareness. So all of a sudden, you're going to have an awareness. It could be someone who bumps into you and says something to you, a book that falls off the shelf, a movie that you go to that you hear one sentence that gives you the awareness of, oh, okay, I'm going to try this. Instead, when you start working with these tools, it's playful. It's something that, you know, I have some people sometimes look at me. I work with businesses also, and I have some of the CEOs look at me and say, oh, Barbara, are you telling me if I say these sentences, these childlike, you know, questions to the universe, my life and my business is going to change? And I say, yes, I am telling you that. The question is, are you willing to show up and be that question? Are you willing to show up and use these tools? Are you willing to show up and have your bars run, you know? And if they are, I have letters and emails and from people that, I mean, no one would believe if they saw the transformation that could be possible in such a playful and quick way if they're choosing. And that's, you know, and that's the number one thing. Everyone says they want more money, they want a great relationship, they want to lose weight, they want, you know, whatever. But are they actually choosing in their life, or are they sitting in that comfort zone of discomfort that they've come to know for so long? So basically, I thank you for, you know, inviting me on the call, because I like to think of myself as being an invitation for what's possible when people are choosing consciousness, when they're choosing to say, you know what, I know that there's something greater about me that I haven't discovered, I haven't been living yet. And that's what I want to choose, because it's absolutely possible. And access consciousness for me has been an absolute miracle.
Yeah, it's amazing. Even amongst the community of healers and you know, people who facilitate healing, and I'm noticing it more and more. I mean, I've been, you know, telling healers the same thing for years, but it just seems that in the past couple of months, I noticed more of it. We all have a tendency to want to help people, and we thrive on helping people. It's almost like the air that we breathe, but at the same time, we neglect ourselves. We tend to neglect ourselves. And I've been counseling people lately saying, look, I know the feeling of feeling guilty, of feeling greedy, of feeling selfish, because those are all the words that are the negative context. So those are all the words that people judging us or throughout our lives
and
have
that's
put,
the word judgment.
Right, have put there on us, and we almost feel like, oh, no, we can't. I'm not saying go out and spoil yourself. That's a whole nother, you know, that's overkill on another level. But it's perfectly fine and actually, from my point of view, required that anyone who is in the helping business, in the service business, in the healing, so to speak, business, make sure that they are themselves 100% healthy, whole, and ready to do the work that we love so much and that we love doing and we want to do. Because if you're, you know, if you're a glass that's half empty, how are you going to quench the thirst of 100 people? You've got to, you know, you've got to be full. You've got to be fully loaded. You have to be fully yourself, ready, rearing, and totally energized to do what you need to do. And the only way we all can do it is if we take care of ourselves on a daily basis. And it's okay to say no, too, sometimes. Because, again, that judgment of you're lazy, you don't want to, or, you know, what, you're being selfish, and then, you know, all the, like, you know, all those judgment words come flooding into your head, and it takes away from you caring for you. Well, no one can care for anyone else until they care for themselves first. Same rule of thumb with love. You cannot love another person until you love yourself. But, I, you know, we all have been fed it's not all about you. You know, you don't matter. You don't count. So this,
right. And that's
there's a whole
readjustment.
Right. That is exactly. Or like Don Miguel Ruiz would say, that's the dream we're all living, but that's not our dream. It was the dream that we were taught. We got to break out and we have to live our own dreams.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, unless, you know, one of the tools that I facilitate, you know, with my clients and classes is about asking questions to the universe, as I said. And the first question is, if I choose this, would it be a contribution to my life? So when you start asking a question like that and you perceive the energy, so if the energy is light and expansive, that would be the equivalent of a yes. If it's heavy and contractive, that would be the equivalent of a no. And so rather than going by the judgment, okay, of this insane planet that we live on, you know, what would it take to simply ask a question in any circumstance? If I choose this, would it be a contribution to my life? And then you don't have to go outside of yourself for an answer. So you don't have to look at the world and the world is sort of saying, well, if you don't help everyone, you know, then you're not a true healer or you're not a true spiritual person or you're whatever. That's an absolute lie that we've all bought into because just as
most
I said before,
definitely.
if you go on the plane and you put the oxygen on, you know, you don't put the oxygen on your face first and then you die, you can't help anyone else.
Exactly.
So,
and I have days where I know I've helped someone tremendously and I get such a feeling of satisfaction from that. Sure, I would have liked to have helped 5 people that day, but I know that this one person I helped really, truly needed it in the moment that day, and what I did was really very valuable and needed, and that's all I need to make me happy. You know,
right.
I don't need thousands of clients and you know, all of this. It just, I helped one soul, that soul is healed and happy and whole, I'm good.
And, you know, what's also a part of that is to be, you know, to be able to honor yourself. And,
right.
Again, you choosing for yourself first in the old paradigm was like, you know, you'd be called selfish or self-centered.
Exactly.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
That's part of the lie and that's part of the dysfunction. Because when you choose for you, you're actually for everyone because then you have the possibility of showing up as the invitation and the model for everyone else that if you choose for you and your life is working, okay, what a contribution that is to the universe. How many lives do you see in this world where people are actually having a life that works for them? A life of joy, a life of ease. You don't see that. Basically, mostly what you see is total dysfunction and fear and lack and
disharmony. Uh-huh.
But when you start getting yourself out of this reality and creating beyond this reality to something that has never existed here, it wasn't even considered and acknowledged because, you know, the agenda of, let's say, the powers that be, they don't want you to have the possibility that life can be an ease, a joy, and a glory, and a fun and an adventure that every day you can be choosing for you. And as you're choosing for you and the greatness that you truly be, you are being a contribution to everyone on the planet. Do you realize how quickly the planet could change if we were actually functioning in that way with that energy?
Sweeping change. Sweeping change it would be, yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, it's an amazing way to look at transformation, as I said, of just taking back who we truly be and letting go of everything that we put on ourselves so we can fit in this reality. Why would we want to fit in a reality that doesn't even work? I mean, does that make any sense?
No.
Of course not. Exactly. And so, you know, again, in talking about access consciousness, we talk about putting out questions because in our society, again, when you think about the significance and the importance, we think about the mind, you know, and we think about being intelligent or brilliant and having lots of answers. Well, in actuality, all of that works against us. No matter how brilliant you are, you only have a finite number of answers in your box, okay? However, if you think about animals, you know, you listen to a news report about a tsunami or an earthquake, and you hear that the town, you know, there's devastation, people have been killed, buildings are, you know, squashed down to the bottom of, you know, ashes. And yet you'll hear that the animals are okay because they're up in the mountains, and you scratch your head and you wonder, wow, do those animals get a different newspaper than I do? And it's like, no, the animals live by their awareness. And
right.
That's one thing that we have been cut off from in this world. What would
well,
because
we're so full of, our heads are so full with that
exactly.
chatter, that mindless, that monkey mind chatter, that we can't tap into our own awareness. We can't follow our own signal, that which our inner wisdom is trying to transmit from inside of us. We can't because all
exactly.
the noise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the practices of getting back to who you truly be is simply by expanding your awareness. And, well, let me ask you, how much time do we have left?
We have roughly 25 minutes.
Okay. So would you like to do a little expansion energy exercise so everyone could sort of have a little experience of this?
Oh, yes, indeed, yes.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So, okay, so why don't we all close our eyes and just find your awareness someplace within your body, and it's just a choice, okay, like an intention. It's just going to happen. And it could be in your heart. It could be in your belly button. It could be in your toe. It doesn't matter. And just find that awareness that you truly be. And I'm going to ask you to start to expand it. So think of it like a little baby beach ball, and you're going to start blowing it up, and it's just going to get larger and larger, 360 degrees expansion. Okay, so let's take your awareness and expand it out so it's filling your whole entire body. And now we're going to move your body, and you're going to fill the whole room that you're in. And now you're going to continue the expansion of your awareness. And so let it fill the apartment or the house or the hotel or wherever you are. And you might start to feel a coolness or a tingling or a light sensation. And that's simply you expanding. You're becoming more and more of who you truly be. And now I would like you to just expand so you're feeling the whole state that you're in. 360 degrees. You're expanding in all directions. And now let's cover the whole United States and start to move past it. So it's almost as if now the United States is actually within you, which is a kind of interesting point of view. And so we're going to expand even further in all directions. And now we're going to go past the planet. We're going to move off the planet, 10,000 miles off the planet in all directions. You might even get a little lightheaded, and that's okay. And now let's go out 50,000 miles off the planet in all directions. 200,000 miles off the planet. Feel that energy and that lightness. Ooh. Okay, cool. And now 500,000 miles off the planet.
Woo!
Yeah, you feel that? Isn't it incredible?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is just you. This is you starting to experience the energy and the awareness of who you truly be. So now I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Who would you be if you were truly being you? And once I ask that question, your awareness automatically gives you the energy of what that is. Who would you be if you were truly being you with and through peace? Who would you be if you were truly being you with and through gratitude? And who would you be if you were truly being you with and through joy? So welcome home. This is a taste of who you truly be. Functioning beyond the dysfunction. So what would be possible for you if nothing was impossible? What if you being you, the greatness that you truly be, the infinite being that you truly be, could change the world just by being you? And what would it take for you to choose that? Oh, okay, so we can start coming back. Although, who wants to, right?
Yeah, really. I mean, that is amazing. I do, and I've been doing it for a very long time. I do a daily meditation, and I do it to Deva Premal's Gayatri Mantra. And in that daily meditation, every day what I do is I start and I sit at my desk and I start from my heart and I pump out the vibration of love, peace, and harmony throughout the world. And I start here in Long Island in my home, and then I go through Suffolk and Nassau County. Then I go through the eastern seaboard of the United States, up across all over the world. I have never branched out 500 miles into the universe. That feeling right now when you did this was like, whoa.
Exactly.
It was unbelievable. Now you're going to start incorporating that.
And that's what's possible with this body of work. When you start having your bars run, it's called having your bars run. And so, for instance, a bars class where you come and you learn how to do the process, or let's say you come with a friend or you meet someone in the class. Once you start having this work facilitated, and I would recommend weekly, and of course everyone does whatever they do, but little by little, the energy that you just experienced now, which was the space that you be, because we're space, the space that you be actually starts expanding. That's exactly what that exercise was about. So as that happens, and as you are letting go of the energy that has been that default setting, which is the limitation, the point of view, and the belief system that was holding you in whatever area of your life that you had the limitation, when you put that together, okay, and then we have what's called energetic processing, where you're simply asking a question, and then after the question, there's an energetic clearing that is said, which once again allows more energy to start to be released. So when you put the combination together, what you have is an amazingly elegant way to bring you to a place that is a space of the infinite being that you truly be. The ease, the joy, and the glory of what living in that space would be like. And so little by little, you start to see your world change. And sometimes it's people who come to you and they'll say, oh, you know what? I noticed that you're not doing blah, 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 whatever you did. And you say, what? I was doing that. And sometimes you're not even aware that you were doing something that all of a sudden you're not doing anymore. And sometimes it'll be a change where a friend of mine who was taking the classes at the same time I was in a band when he was 13. And he just sort of, you know, after he grew up a while, you know, for a while after taking, you know, being in the music world as a teenager, he totally let that all go. And now, almost 60 years old, he takes this class and starts doing the bars, and all of a sudden, it's like, I have to be with music. I have to be the music. I have to learn how to play a guitar again. I'm taking singing lessons. And it was like, oh, my God. You know, it's like in such a short period of time, here was this whole new facet of his life that he lost so long ago, that now has come back into his life. Or you see people who are in relationships that are not working, and there was a fear about leaving the relationship, and now what happens is the fear is no longer there, and they just see the relationship as, okay, it served my life then, but now it's not working for me. It's not, there's no contribution, or there's no joy, or it's just smaller than the life that I would actually be choosing if I was choosing for me. And so there's a very elegant sort of energy. It's not, you know, it's not like this fear that I have to get through or I have to leave. It's just a choice that, you know what, I'm going to choose for me and I'm going to choose something different right now. And all of a sudden, they're out of relationship, but there's not the trauma and the drama and the struggle of what most people go through.
Uh-huh.
Or with money. you know, the whole concept right now that you were talking about before of people losing jobs, the financial situation, when we buy into that energy, mostly, as I said before, mostly everything that we buy into, we buy the energy. It's not even ours. 90-something percent of what we think and feel, we're actually picking up from other people. We're picking up from the...
Right. And it's like people who, their whole goal in life is money, 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 money. I have to make money. I have to make money. I think that's got to be the worst mindset one could adopt and continue to cling on to, because we're not all about money. We're not made of money. That's not what it's all about. And I think when people focus on making money, you're making lots of money. I want as much money. I think in a way they think they're doing themselves a service because they're putting forth law of attraction. I want a lot of money and I want it now. But I think it really works against them, don't you think?
Well, anything that you make a necessity or a significance in life actually ends up putting you in a little box with no windows and no doors. In other words, you're stuck. So this is what we do in every area, especially money, because that's, you know, that's one of the things that is used against us to keep us in fear, the whole money thing. And so, of course, we have made it a significance and a necessity. However, when you let that go and you start showing up living in allowance, and allowance is a space that you're willing to receive everything that's going on, that's coming to you, but you have no judgment about it. So there's no good, there's no bad, there's no right, there's no wrong. There's just in the moment, okay, is this working or is this not working? And if it's not working, you simply make another choice. The choice would be to make a choice that would actually work for you. And so as you're saying, Rose, it's exactly true. When you take your focus and the significance off money and you get that money is simply an energy. Everything is energy. So the question is, what would it take for you to be the vibrational match with money or gold or silver or whatever, okay, diamonds, pearls, whatever? What would it take for me to be that match energetically so I can simply receive effortlessly? And it doesn't have to be money, because you can have an amazing life, and people never get this, but I've experienced it in my life and my clients and my friends. You could have a life that has everything that you desire, and it doesn't necessarily have to be created by money.
Exactly.
It's simply about what you're willing to receive. When you're willing to receive something, it could come as a gift. It could literally, you know, my God, I remember a part of my life where I was divorced, and at one point I, you know, my clothes came from Bloomingdale's and Bergdorf's and that kind of.
Oh, me too. And then they came from Kmart.
And all of a sudden, exactly, I went to a place where at that time it was called Caldor's. It was the equivalent of Walmart. My God, this was in my late 20s. That was just right after. And what happened was, it was actually in that silver class that I met a woman. We became very good friends, and her husband owned this amazing fashion, you know, it was in that building, which I can't remember, on Broadway from back in the 50s and 60s. It was like the top designer building for clothes in New York. So here I went from buying, you know, $3 shirts to having $300 blouses, and it wasn't about money, you know. And so I can give you a million stories like that. So what would it take for you to be the energy of money so you can simply receive it? And the same question could be asked about anything. It's just literally being willing to be in a state of receiving. And again, that's, you know, that's a change of a paradigm where we go out of the significance and necessity of things and we just go into allowing everything to be simply an interesting point of view where we have no attachment. So whatever it is that's going on in our life, we could simply be in this place where, okay, in this moment, is this going to work for me? Yes or no? And you get the awareness of it. You ask the question. No? Okay. then what else is possible here? How can it get even better than this? And all of a sudden, the universe will provide. And so,
you know, and I have to say, that's really something that is so difficult for everyone to believe. And myself, I keep getting testimony to this because I am a natural born intuitive. And I've always heard messages from spirit from when I was a child. And lately I was thinking of something that I was obsessing over. And I kept saying, okay, I need this, I need this, I need. I kept saying need. And it wasn't happening, and it was getting crazy, and I was getting a little frustrated. And then all of a sudden, something happened one night where I did receive that which I kept complaining about that I needed so much, but it didn't come in the way I was always used to it coming. It didn't come in the manner that I expected it to come. And I kind of got chided that night by spirit because I heard, you see, you did receive what you needed. However, it didn't come in the way you expected it to come, in the way
and it usually doesn't.
Right, in the way you wanted it to come, in the way you've always thought that it would come. But the point here we want to make to you, dear, is it did come. Learn this.
Yes, and the point of that, which is so true, Rose, is that if we didn't have our judgments and our conclusions and our decisions, okay, about how things have to come. So in other words, if it looks like this, it's good, and if it looks like that, it's bad. Where was that actually written, or was that a manipulation to have us simply live in judgment where our lives would never work? If you allow, if you allow whatever it is to come and sort of show you what's possible, okay, then all of a sudden there's a whole new reality that is available to you that would not have been available before when you were living in conclusion and decision.
It's our unlimited thinking. Yeah.
Exactly. Because, you know, when you said that, that's exactly how the universe works. When you make a demand of the universe, what you're asking for, the energy, okay, it's the energy that you're putting out. That energy will come to you, and it might not look as you expected it because you can only expect something that you've already decided or concluded would be the right and perfect and correct way that something has to happen. But what happens if it comes in absolutely different form? You allow it in, and you start playing with that energy, and all of a sudden you realize, and it might take you a year to realize it, but you know what? If I would have gotten what I actually asked for, I would never have a life as joyous as this life that I'm living right now. So again, I used to say even 30 years ago, if you're trying to be successful, whatever that looks like for you, if you do what they are telling you to do, most probably you're not going to get there. But if you do the opposite, you'll probably get there. And I have found that worked in all of these years because, again, you have to be creating for you. If you're creating something that works for somebody else, then, as I said before, that, you know, showing up as the difference you be with that one energy that is just yours. If you're following someone else's energy, maybe they were showing up as the difference they were, and that worked for them. But you try the same thing.
So the whole thing is, it's like these MLM things, you know, they have a cookie cutter mentality and, hey, we made millions doing this, A, B, C, D, E, F. You do it too. And you have a bunch of people going out, buying into this stuff, because I abhor MLMs. And I think, as I said to a friend of mine once, the only people making millions on these MLM ideas are the guys who came together and formed them to begin with, because that cookie cutter thing doesn't work. Just because it worked for person number A doesn't mean it's working for B, C, D, E, F down the line. When you are yourself, like what you're saying is when you are who you be, then we're like snowflakes and every individual person is different. But if you're vibrating to what you are supposed to be and who you are 100%, you're resonating with the universe. What is to stop everything that is for your best and highest good from coming to you?
Exactly. And that's
amazing.
The question. The question is, are you actually choosing for you or are you choosing against you? And that's really, you know, it sounds crazy, like why would I be choosing against me? But that's all the energy that you've already bought from everyone else on the planet and your parents and everyone else who came before you that, you know, let's say your parents, you know, made whatever they made. They made $30,000 or $50,000 or whatever it was. And you grew up in a home where there was struggle with money. Well, you're taking on that energy. It's like you're buying it. Now you bought it. It's yours. And you're going to start to create from that energy. You're no longer creating from the energy of who you truly be because you gave that up. So now you're creating from your parents or your grandparents or whoever. It could be the neighbors next door. And so you're not ending up with the life that you would have left, you know, you would have ended up with because you started to uncreate your life and you started to create your parents or your grandparents or your neighbors' life. That, you know, it's quite amazing, but yes, that's how it works because we're only talking about energy here. So the question becomes, what would it take for you to be willing to show up as you, who you truly be, coming from the energy that you be, which would give you a life that works for you? It might not work for anyone else, but it will work for you. And so the amazing thing that I find with these tools of Access Consciousness is that you're being taught all of these tools that if you start to use them, all of the answers, okay, which is actually awarenesses, that you receive are just for you. You ask a question, if I choose this, what would my life be like in 5 years? Your awareness is actually moving out 5 years and you're getting the perception of what it would actually feel like. And then you make your choice from there. You don't have to go to a book and look for an answer that works for anyone else. It's all about you. Living
right
by your awareness.
Exactly.
And, you know,
I got to tell you, Barbara, this hour and a half just flew by. You were
very interesting.
This is a marvelous, fascinating subject. And I'm going to have you back sometime soon so we can discuss this further and more in depth.
It's such a phenomenal body of work, very extensive. And, you know, you can come in and you can choose as little or as much as you want, depending on how great you want your life to be. And it's available to anyone because, as I said, even children, you know,
right.
can take the classes.
All right.
So
it's
Access Consciousness.
So much. Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
You gave out my website. So.
I gave out your website. So everybody, please do check out Barbara, www.barbaragilman.com. And
Barbara is spelled like Streisand. That's Barbaragilman.
Well, thank you so much. I'm going to say goodnight to you. And
okay,
I'm going
thank you, Rose.
Thank you, sweetheart. Great having you here.
Wonderful being here. And thank you for the contribution that you be.
All right. Thank you, too. Namaste. All right, all my listeners, good night. Thank you so much for listening.